I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline, the one and only Rich Melzer. He got a great story to tell by himself. Growing up in Minneapolis in the city, moving to River Falls, Wisconsin, playing basketball out there at Division III Wisconsin River Falls, making it to the NBA and playing overseas for years. It's a hell of a story to tell, and he joins us now. Rich, thank you for joining us.
You got it, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too, because I promised myself that we wouldn't just do the first story after the riots and the demonstrations, but we would stay with this. And we did a story with you. We talked about it. You work at the YMCA over there. You live in North Minneapolis, and that's when we were in cleanup mode. We're still in cleanup mode, but I want to take us to the next level, and I want to start with you, Rich, and retelling your story, because you grew up in Minneapolis in the city, and it wasn't the perfect. You weren't making all the great decisions as a young person, and so you moved to River Falls. Explain how your life matured there and what happened to you.
Wow, well, it's a lot to ask, Mike, but I'll try.
But you're the man to tell it, Rich, because you've told it before, and you're very articulate in it, and I think it sends a message to a lot of kids and parents out there.
Well, I think to sum it up, and I'll dive in a little deeper, but I'm definitely one of the lucky ones. There was a lot of kids like myself that were frankly underserved, I think, in our school systems, and grew up with challenges that, maybe a lot of other people didn't grow up with. And I was fortunate enough to get a second chance.
Let me just stop you for a second. What would be an example of those? I mean, we're talking about ADHD. Are we talking about what kinds of stuff?
You know, I think the word systemic, I think the word like systemic oppression and systemic change being needed is getting thrown a lot around a lot.
Yes.
As a young person going to, a Minneapolis public school and then transferring to a public school in rural Wisconsin, I mean, the level of attention to detail to me as a student, to me as a scholar athlete, was much different when I left Minneapolis than it was when I was here. And I don't think it's necessarily anybody's fault per se, but when I went out there, I had a community wrap their arms around me and really make strides and efforts to see to it I didn't make the same mistakes that I did when I was in Minneapolis when I got there.
Okay.
If that helps a little bit.
No, it does. And a lot of people will never have the comparison that you have because they only were in one system. And I think that's imperative of the story is that you do have something to compare and contrast it to, so you realize what the difference is.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Minneapolis too. I've lived in the 20s, 30s,
and you love it,
and 50s of South Minneapolis. So I am a Southsider, if you will, now living in North Minneapolis. But moving to Wisconsin, it was like, frankly, at that time when I was 18 years old, it was like moving to a different world. I didn't even know anything existed past St. Paul for the most part at that time. So
a lot of people in the city don't, and that's another conversation for those of us that grew up in rural Minnesota. It's like, hey, come on out here, We're not going to bite you.
Yeah, it's a fantastic city, that Hudson River Falls community. It obviously, even then, 15, 16, 17 years ago, wasn't as diverse of a community as it is now. And even then, it was, people don't know this, but River Falls is the last metropolitan city of the Twin Cities. And I think when I went to school and college there, the diversity rate was about 2 or 3%. Now it's at like 13 or 14% where I graduated from. So, it's grown a lot. It's grown a great deal, and they've done some amazing things as it relates to diversity and inclusion.
I remember pitching over there when I played for Hamline University, and we played at River Falls and throwing against River Falls, and they had a very active student body, and those streets you can't park on. That's what I remember about River Falls.
Oh, I bet you destroyed them when you were pitching for Hamline.
When I was a freshman, I had them, man. We had them shut out for like 5 or 6 innings, and it was like the first game I got to start, and all of a sudden I blew up. I ran out of gas, and the coach was sitting there, and he wasn't going to take me out because it was like, hey, this is your game. You fine. We need these other pitchers for the weekend. But anyway, that's another story for another time.
Show these country boys what's going on in the city. That's what you did.
I tried, man. I tried. I almost tried, and then they got the better of me. But that's another story that I'll take an entire show one night and talk about that. But you went on. You had a great basketball career, obviously. And among the people you played for was Greg Popovich in San Antonio. And the irony of that is he has been so outspoken on behalf of the demonstrators. And one of the quotes that he had that I thought stood out was, "You have no idea the stories that I've heard from the players that I've coached about how they grew up." I'm paraphrasing there. But when I saw it, it really resonated with me because I thought, you know, he's right. A lot of people that are commenting on this have not heard what he's heard and seen what he's seen. You played for him. What does Popovich's voice mean in all this?
You know, honestly, when I was there, and as meaningful and as articulate as he is and the things he taught and delivered, this wasn't going on at that time in 2006, 2007, right?
It wasn't a headline topic.
It wasn't a headline topic, but he is a very conscious person, and he did things. I mean, the stuff, and we talked about this, Mike, but the stuff that I do today in my personal life as a parent, the stuff that I learned in basketball, and not even that, like, I'm still learning things from Coach Popovich and that organization, you know, things that I use every day in my personal life in the way that I approach things, you know, how to give your best at all times, how to show up early, how to stay late, how to know who your leaders are. Mike, there was a time, you know, we were just about to leave for training camp. I got the ball on the wing against Mike Finley, and Tim Duncan is on the post. Okay, I had just signed the 2-year deal with the Spurs. The clock's winding down. I dribble baseline, and I knock a game-winning shot to win the scrimmage right before we travel into preseason. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling warm and fuzzy. I got the backing of the team. Everybody's celebrating out of nowhere. Coach Popovich starts screaming at me, and he starts ridiculing me, going, "What are you doing? Who do you think you are taking that shot?" And all I can think in my head is, man, like, this is a great moment for me. What did I do? I'm going, "Coach, what did I do?" And he goes, "You got the best power forward on the planet standing down there, and you shoot that? Who do you think you are?" And that was when I realized what it took to be a part of a team. That's when I realized what it took to be a leader, when to fall back, when to take charge. And, the stuff that I learned from Coach Popovich is still resonating today. He's a man of his word. I mean, he told me the night that he cut me after the best game I had in the NBA, he goes, "Rich, I don't think you're ready for the Kobe Bryants and the Ben Gordons of the NBA." And I go, "Coach, who can guard him? Who is ready for him?
Who are you going to put on him?"
Yeah, he goes, "I don't think you can guard the Kobe Bryants and the Ben Gordons in the NBA." And I go, "Coach, you can." He goes, "You know what? You're going to go to Europe. We're going to take care of you. Whatever you need, give me a shout. If you need anything, letter of recommendation, a job, just, you know, stay in touch." And to date, he's honored his word about that, man. And it's something I'll never forget, and it's something I'm going to try to carry on and pass forward with the people I support and mentor.
That's a great story, and, you know, you go back to the city now, and you're involved in the city again, this time on the north side in the YMCA, and when we were there, you guys were in the infancy stages of getting food and things that could be provided for people in the summer, children, etc. Take me over the last 3 weeks since last time I talked to you. How has it gone? What are you seeing?
Yeah, well, initially, you know, we were asking a lot of questions, and I think everybody as a community in the Twin Cities around the world is asking questions. When are things going to open? How are we going to respond? What is the need right now? And frankly, where we're at right now, as opposed to where we were maybe a month ago, especially as it relates to not only COVID, but the George Floyd incident and all the social uprisings, is that now I think we're moving at a speed and a cadence that already has the answers. And I'm not saying we have all the answers, but these last 3 weeks, we've had to respond at a speed that I don't think has ever been seen before Even since the Great Depression and the Civil Rights Movement, where now, you know, we're addressing needs and we're addressing outcomes before we even have the details and the specs on some of these on some of these things that are important to us, like you know, like food necessities, clothing, essential needs, small things like toiletries, big things like childcare, and you know, youth development. We are responding in a way that we're not only, I think, staying ahead of the curve in a lot of ways, but we're also setting the trend. We're setting the tone. We're setting the we're setting the bar really high, and you got to keep up. I mean, right now we're all being challenged in different ways. I think not only as people, but as professionals, when we walk into this new world as colleagues and as employees, you really got to have your stuff together. You really got to be sharp and innovative, and I think you got to bring a lot of empathy with you as well.
Are the kids getting enough to eat?
Man, we, Mike, man, everybody is eating where I'm at.
Okay,
we're
good.
We're all eating. But, we are all eating, man.
But they can come to the Y and they can get a decent meal, et cetera.
Absolutely. They can come to the Y. They can get essential needs at most locations in the Twin Cities for sure. We have hot gourmet meals from Loaves and Fishes, who's done a fantastic job of catering gourmet meals that families can just grab and take home without being asked questions, and feel really comfortable and safe. And we also have branches that are right now serving, you know, again, things like toiletries and women's products, soap. I mean, a lot of people are out of work right now, and I know there's some people that are thriving and doing really well, but on the flip side of that coin, there's people that are out of work. There's families that were not only struggling before, but now even more so. And I believe in my heart that we are removing a lot of barriers across the whole Twin Cities.
Are you able to easily identify the families in need? Do you have to worry much about pride or people not coming forward and saying we need help?
You know, not necessarily, because we don't want to generalize.
Mm-hmm.
But we've definitely been an open, available resource. We've broadcasted our availability, our locations, pretty much through every social media channel available, and social networking. So if people want to find out what's going on, Google the YMCA, look at us on Facebook. YMCAMN.org is a website you can go to, and it'll list all the locations where families can go get their goodies. And not only that, you know, there's a huge need right now in the Twin Cities, but also we've had a huge outpouring of people who want to give back. So they can literally take these resources and give them to the people that might be in more need than them. Our fundraising is up. We really have to continue removing some barriers. But as great as the need is, there's also a great call for cause-driven leaders and people that want to do more. And it's really a unique dynamic we're seeing right now.
Are you able to serve the kids with the camps that you want? I mean, are you getting good participation from them? Or are they able to get exercise and do some, you know, some learning inside the confines of the YMCA?
Yeah, we're running camp right now at my branch between kindergarten and eighth graders. And every day we got about 60, 70 kids that come. We put them through a whole array of, you know, youth development curriculums, activities, mind-building programs. We're doing yoga. We're taking trips outside. I got a group of kids that's going out to Bloomington for the Foreverest Challenge in about 2 weeks after the 4th, where they're going to collectively climb the same height as Mount Everest out there in Bloomington. So, I mean, yeah, we're trying to be innovative and we're trying to move fast, but we're also doing that, keeping our COVID-19 mandates in place, social distancing. The kids eat lunch in a space where, you know, we're really trying hard to keep them 6 feet apart from each other. We're really keeping the staff and team members and PPE equipment all day, masks. It's a lot to juggle, and you know what? We're finding a rhythm, and we're still serving young people at a really high capacity.
Now, not far from you, almost walking distance, is Cub Foods, which was ravaged in it. And the parking lot's open to try to restore some of it, but that's why they call it a food desert, because it is the far and away the biggest grocery store on that side of town, the Broadway area. How is that being compensated for? Okay, what are you seeing there in general in the Northside community, because you also live not far from there?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a food desert for a couple reasons. One is because wherever you throw anything or wherever you travel, you're going to get fast food. The restaurants and, you know, the even the convenience stores are all full of sodium and salt and sugar.
Yes.
And just, you know, really, frankly, bad food. And one of the ways that we're trying to curb that, we're literally building a greenhouse, thanks to Cargill, on our rooftop right now. We feed our kids healthy, nutritious meals that are pretty consistent with what they eat at home. But for like an African-American community like ours, and I hate to bring out cliches and things like that, but where a kid might think he's eating fried chicken at our branch, it's actually breaded chicken that we've made. And the food that we serve is consistent with what a lot of our young people would eat at home. We just put a healthy spin on it. So, and the good thing is not only the YMCA, but there's also a lot of cohorts and private organizations that are doing really similar work to ours, maybe not at the scale or capacity that we are. But people are out there serving. They're trying to make compensations for, you know, cub foods and some of the things that have been burnt down and compromised. And it's reassuring to know that we're not alone. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to do more and give us nourishment and nutrition.
Last question, Rich, and you can explain it better than I because you lived on both sides of town, the south and the north. There's a profound difference between North Minneapolis and South Minneapolis, and I don't think a lot of people in the suburbs or outstate, greater Minnesota, differentiate. North Minneapolis and Broadway is primarily African-American, some whites integrated in. The South Side has many more pockets with much more diversity. Just explain, in layman's terms, the difference between, say, Lake Street and Broadway.
Well, I can tell you this. Being a kid that grew up in the South Side, you hear the stigma and the things about North Minneapolis. After living over there for 2 years, they're not true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm just going to be frank, Mike, if you don't mind. It's cloudy over north, which is a term we say in the city, right? It's more diverse. It's a little darker. The people over there are a little more diverse, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything except that. I mean, I live right near North Commons Park, which has one of the best canopies in the Twin Cities for natural parks and recreational areas. I work at the Y.
It's a
right
beautiful
here.
Park, and the Y is almost attached to it.
It's almost attached, but, you know, North Minneapolis is also very small.
Mm-hmm.
And after working there for a couple years, it's hard for me to go anywhere and not see a family or a
yep.
young person or a parent that's walked through our doors at some point. And I think people need to lose some of their biases about it and even step into it because it's part of the city.
It's a wonderful part of the city.
Yeah.
But Lake Street is much different. I mean, Lake Street and the extension of it is much different because you have African-Americans, but you have whites, you have Native Americans, you have really from all over nationality. You've got Mexican descent. You've got all kinds that are there. And it's different, isn't it? Different pockets.
Yeah, it's different over north. North, I mean, I think it goes to say North Minneapolis, as it relates to that, is mostly African-American and Hmong.
Mm-hmm.
But I have also seen a great deal of Northeast Minneapolis and Northeast Minneapolis community members begin to trickle over to North Minneapolis.
Because Northeast is more white and Polish, you know?
Well, it is, but houses are also becoming more affordable over north.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, the market is definitely up. You can look online. You can look on Minneapolis.gov and see some of the specs on what the real estate market's doing in Minneapolis. And I'm telling you, houses aren't staying on the market long because people are finding pockets and networks in North Minneapolis that are proving to be lucrative. It's a wholesome community despite some of maybe the media attention it gets. And I would tell people in South Minneapolis and around the Twin Cities to kind of disregard some of those biases you hear about North Minneapolis. There are great people there. There are great children there. And there's a lot of talent and impactful people that have come out of that community. I would argue as much or more so than the greater suburbs of the Twin Cities.
Rich, appreciate it very much. You're articulate and well-spoken, and you speak well on the behalf of the projects that you work on. We will continue to stay in touch with you, my friend.
You got it, Mike. Thanks for following up. Thank you to the listeners. Wishing you all well, and everybody God bless. Thank you.
You bet. Rich Melzer, nice enough to join us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.